مارك الصحابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Once again, أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم to this edition of the Truthful Connection, coming to you exclusively, live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah Wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahli Sunnah Wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa. Alhamdulillah, we just completed our segment with Brother Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, and we discussed the selection of the different ministers, their qualifications and competence, and the general situation in relation to the relationships between the two major parties, that is the ANC and the DA. For now, inshallah, we will be crossing over to Brother Abu Bakr Sidat Hafizahullah for the program Biladul Muslimin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Abu Bakr.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ji Maulana, jazakallah for hosting us. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, jazallahu anna Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima walo. Ji Maulana, we are today in the last day of the Islamic year 1445, 30th of Zil Hajj in the Middle East and other countries. Today is the 1st of Muharram. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala make it easy that into the year 1446, the Muslim Ummah is blessed with hidayah and recognition in the marifat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And wherever the Muslims are oppressed throughout the world, especially in Gaza and Palestine, Allah Ta'ala opened the road for the victory of the Palestinians and the Muslim Ummah and the safeguard of the Masjid Al-Aqsa for the Muslim Ummah. Ji Maulana, before we start with our program regarding Afghanistan, I think we're into the year 2009, regarding the history of Afghanistan and the political situation there between the United States and the Taliban. This week in Doha, the United Nations is holding talks regarding Afghanistan. There were two previous conferences held. The Taliban did not attend those two conferences because what the United Nations was putting on the agenda was regarding the Taliban's policy towards the female and ladies in Afghanistan, regarding their education, regarding their capabilities to go into the workforce. And the Taliban's human rights situation. Alhamdulillah, this time the Taliban has dictated the agenda, and Mullah Zabihullah Mujahid is leading the delegation. And one of the matters that they are discussing is the freezing of the $9 billion of Taliban resources that were frozen after the United States quit Afghanistan in 2001. And this is a priority for the Taliban so that they can get some finances into their coffers in Kabul. The other matters are regarding the development of Afghanistan and the recognition of Afghanistan by the United Nations and the countries around it. In fact, up till now, none of the countries have given official recognition to the Taliban as the de facto government in Kabul. So it will be very interesting what the outcome of these negotiations were. In fact, last week we said that it would be very interesting to see how the negotiations for the withdrawal of the United States and the NATO troops from Afghanistan took place over the 10 years. This started in this year 2009. After Hamid Karzai's alleged win of 54% in 2009, which would prevent a runoff, over 400,000 Karzai votes had to be disallowed after accusations of fraud. Some nations criticized the elections as free but not fair. The Taliban's claim that the over 135 violent incidents disrupted elections was largely disputed, but this was the truth. However, the media was asked not to report on any violent incidents, as we see now in the Gaza Strip, where the media and news is being controlled, especially for the major media outlets by the Israelis. And we should thank that there is social media where we get the reality of what is taking place in Gaza and the West Bank. However, the media was asked not to report on violent incidents. In southern Afghanistan, where the Taliban held the most power, voter turnout was low and sporadic violence was directed at voters and security personnel by the United States so that they could disrupt the elections and people stayed away because of the violence that was perpetrated by the government, by the occupying forces and the Afghan government not to allow the Taliban a victory. The Taliban released a video days after the elections, filming the on the road on between Kabul and Kandahar, stopping vehicles and asking to see the fingers of voters who had voted. The video went on to show 10 men who had voted listening or given instructions by one of the Taliban militants. The Taliban pardoned the voters because of Ramadan. The Taliban attacked towns with rockets and other indirect fire. Amid claims of widespread fraud, both top commanders, Hamid Karzai and Abdullah, claimed victory. Reports suggested that the turnout was lower than in prior elections. On the 2nd of December 2009, Obama announced, he was then president, announced that the U.S. would send 30,000 more troops. Anti-war organizations in the United States responded quickly, and cities throughout the U.S. saw protests on the 2nd of December. Many protesters compared the decision to deploy more troops in Afghanistan to the expansion of the Vietnam War under the Johnson administration. Deployment of additional U.S. troops continued in the early 2010 with 9,000 of the planned 30,000 in place before the end of March and another 18,000 expected by June. The surge in troops supported a six-fold increase in special forces operations. The surge of American personnel that began in late 2009, ended by 2012. 700 airstrikes occurred in September 2010 alone versus 257 in 2009. Due to the increased use of IEDs, that is improvised explosive devices by the Taliban, the number of injured coalition soldiers, mainly Americans, significantly increased. Beginning in May 2010, NATO Special Forces began to concentrate on operations to capture or kill specific Taliban leaders. As of March 2011, the U.S. military claimed that the effort had resulted in the capture or killing of more than 900 low- to mid-level Taliban commanders. Overall, 2010 saw the most insurgent attacks of any year since the war began in 2001, peaking in September at more than 1,500 attacks. In 2010, coalition of Afghan and coalition forces began highly visible plans for an offensive called Operation, codenamed Operation Moshtarak, on a Taliban stronghold near the village of Marja. The peace jirga, which was held in Kabul, attended by 1,600 delegates in June 2010. However, the Taliban and the Hizb-e-Islami Gulbuddin, who were both invited by Karzai as a gesture of goodwill, did not attend the conference. The Taliban's co-founder and then second-in-command, Abdul Ghani Baradar, was one of the leading Taliban members who favored talks with the U.S. and Afghan governments. Karzai's administration reportedly held talks with Baradar in February. However, later that month, Baradar was captured in a joint U.S.-Pakistan raid in the city of Karachi in Pakistan. The arrest infuriated Karzai and invoked suspicions that he was seized because Pakistani intelligence community was opposed to Afghan peace talks. Karzai started peace talks with the Haqqani network groups also. In 2010, a mindset change and strategy occurred within the Obama administration to allow a possible political negotiations to solve the war. The Taliban had themselves refused to speak to the Afghan government, portraying them as American puppets. Sporadic efforts for peace talks between the U.S. and the Taliban occurred afterwards, and it was reported in October 2010 that made the revelation of documents over U.S. military incidents and intelligence reports from favoring the peace talks. Some of these documents included sanitized and covered up accounts of civilian casualties caused by coalition forces. The reports included many references to other incidents involving civilian casualties, like the Kunduz airstrike and the Nangar Khel incident. The leaked documents also contained reports of Pakistan collusion with the Taliban. According to Der Spiegel, the German magazine, the documents clearly show that the Pakistan intelligence agency, the ISI, well, is the most important accomplice the Taliban has outside of Afghanistan. In 2011, U.S. officials announced that Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden had been killed in an Operation Neptune Spear conducted by the new U.S. Navy SEALs in Abbottabad in Pakistan. Pakistan came under the intense international scrutiny after the raid. And it was the decision of Obama and his intelligence agencies, the CIA and the FBI and the Pentagon, to dispose of the body of Osama bin Laden, Sheikh Osama bin Laden, Rahmatullah Alayh, into the sea so that there will be no place where he would be buried on earth, so that it can become a shrine and be a reminder to the Muslim Ummah of the sacrifices made by Sheikh Osama bin Laden. The 2011 Battle of Kandahar was part of an offensive that followed an announcement that the Taliban would launch their spring offensive. The Taliban launched a major offensive on the government buildings in Kandahar. The BBC called it the worst attack in Kandahar province since the fall of the Taliban government in 2001, an embarrassment for the Afghan government. Karzai confirmed in June that secret talks were taking place between the U.S. and the Taliban, but these collapsed in August. President Obama then announced in 2011 that 10,000 troops would be withdrawn by the end of the year. Remember, in 2019, he wanted to send in 30,000 troops. Now the announcement, because of the negotiations and the pressure being placed on the United States government and the Afghan government forces, which the United States was training, the withdrawal of many deserting the Afghan government forces led to Obama taking another stance on the Afghan war, and he made this announcement in 2011 that he wants to withdraw 10,000 troops. And an additional 23,000 troops would be returned by the summer of 2012. All in all, they had something like 106,000 troops in Afghanistan. The United States and the NATO allies And these were the forces with all the equipment and the ammunition and the airstrikes to fight the Taliban alone, and plus about 160,000 of the Afghan security forces whom the Americans had trained were up against the Taliban, and the Taliban tactics of guerrilla war and setting up IEDs along the routes and blocking off major supply routes had an effect on the end result of the outcome of the war. After the withdrawal of 10,000 U.S. troops, only 80,000 troops remained. In July 2012, Canada withdrew its combat troops, transitioning to a training role. Following suit, other NATO countries announced troop reductions. Taliban attacks continued at the same time as they did in 2011, around 28,000 attacks in 2013 alone. Tensions between Pakistan and the U.S. were heightened in late September 2011 after several Pakistani Frontier Corps soldiers were killed and wounded. Troops were attacked by a U.S. piloted aircraft that was pursuing Taliban forces near the Afghan-Pakistan border. But for unknown reasons, opened fire on two Pakistan border posts in retaliation for the strike. Pakistan closed the Tokam ground border crossing to NATO supply convoys for an unspecified period. This incident followed the release of a video allegedly showing uniformed Pakistan soldiers executing unarmed civilians. After the Tokam border closing, Pakistan Taliban attacked NATO convoys, killing several drivers and destroying around 100 tankers. We know what is happening with the tanks in Gaza also. In fact, the very recent report showed that more than 180 tanks had been destroyed by the Mujahideen in Gaza. Beginning in January 2012, incidents involving U.S. troops occurred that were described by the Sydney Morning Herald as a series of damaging incidents and disclosures involving U.S. troops in Afghanistan. These incidents created fractures in the partnership between Afghanistan and ISAF, that is the International Security Force in Afghanistan, raised the question whether discipline within U.S. troops was breaking down, undermined the image of foreign forces in a country where there is already deep resentment owing to civilian deaths, and a perception among many Afghans that U.S. troops lack respect of Afghan culture and people, and strained the relations between Afghanistan and the United States. Besides an incident involving U.S. troops who posed with body parts of dead insurgents, and a video apparently showing a U.S. helicopter crew signing bye-bye Miss America and fire pie before blasting a group of Afghan men with a Hellfire missile. These high-profile U.S. military incidents in Afghanistan also included the 2012 Afghanistan Quran burning protests and the Panjshir shooting spree. Hamid Karzai, who was then the president, visited the United States in January 2012. At the time, the U.S. government stated its openness to withdrawing all of its troops by the end of 2014. On January 11, 2012, Karzai and Obama agreed to transfer combat operations from NATO to Afghan forces by spring 2013 rather than summer 2013. What's going to happen this spring is that Afghans will be in the lead throughout the country, Obama said. They, that is the ISAF forces, will still be fighting alongside Afghan troops, will be in a training, assisting, and advising role. He also stated the reason of the withdrawals, that we achieved our central goal or have come very close, which is to decapacitate Al-Qaeda And no more now they are talking about decapacitating the Taliban. That is one of the reasons they said that they invaded Afghanistan and occupied it for more than 20 years just to dismantle Al-Qaeda of Osama bin Laden, Rahmatullah Alayh, not the Taliban anymore, because the Taliban were giving them a hiding to nothing in the guerrilla tactics that was being used by the so-called insurgents, that is the Taliban, and making sure that Al-Qaeda can't attack the United States. He added that any U.S. mission which beyond 2014 would focus on counterterrorism operations and training. The leaders of the NATO member countries endorsed an exit strategy during the NATO summit in 2012. ISAF forces would transfer command of all combat missions to Afghan forces by the middle of 2013, while shifting from combat to advising, training, and assisting Afghan security forces. Most of the 130 ISAF forces would depart by the end of December 2014. A new NATO mission would then assume a support role. On the 2nd May 2012, President Karzai and Obama signed a strategic partnership agreement between the two countries after the U.S. president had arrived unannounced in Kabul. On July 7, as part of the agreement, the U.S. designated Afghanistan a major non-NATO ally after Karzai and Clinton met in Kabul. Both leaders agreed that the United States would transfer Afghan prisoners and prisons to the Afghan government and withdraw troops from Afghan villages in the spring. In 2013, the transfer of security responsibilities from NATO to Afghan forces was completed. ISAF remains slated to end its mission by the end of 2014. Some 100,000 ISAF forces still remain in the country. From 2014 to 2021, the withdrawal and increase of the insurgency of the Taliban. The UK and US officially ended their combat operations in Afghanistan in 2014. The UK handed over its last base in Afghanistan, Camp Bastion, and the US handed over its last base, Camp Leatherneck, to Afghan forces. Around 500 UK troops remained in non-combat roles. On the 28th of December, NATO officially ended their combat operations in a ceremony held in Kabul. Continued operation by the US forces within Afghanistan were under Operation Freedom Sentinel, and the new NATO mission was Operation Resolute Support. The withdrawal of troops did not mean the withdrawal of military presence. The U.S. troops withdrew from Afghanistan. They were replaced by private security companies hired by the United States government and the United Nations. Many of these private security companies, also termed as military contractors, consisted of ex-coalition military personnel. This allowed the U.S. and the British to continue to be involved in ground actions without the requirement to station their own forces. And these were the Blackwater and those private companies that were involved. And because the United States was in the process, NATO and the United States were losing a lot of soldiers, they decided to privatize the whole Afghan war. The Taliban began a resurgence due to several factors. The withdrawal of most foreign forces from Afghanistan reduced the risk the Taliban faced of being bombed and raided. In 2014, the Pakistani military operation Zarb-e-Azab launched in northern Waziristan tribal area, dislodged thousands of mainly Uzbek, Arab, and Pakistani militants who flooded into Afghanistan and swelled the Taliban's ranks. The group was further emboldened by the comparative lack of interest from the international community, as attention was given to other world crises such as Syria, Iraq, and Ukraine. Afghan security forces lacked, among other things, the power and recognizance, the political infighting in the central government in Kabul, and the apparent weakness of governments at different levels were exploited by the Taliban. The Taliban expanded the governance and conflict in the southern Chardara district within Kunduz province to enlist local militia to bolster opposition to the Taliban. In June, the Taliban intensified attacks around Kunduz city as part of a major offensive in an attempt to capture the tens of thousands of inhabitants were displaced internally. The government recaptured the Chardara district after roughly a month of fighting. Coming now to the end of our program, Maulana, we trust that we will continue next week, inshallah. In late September, Taliban forces launched an attack in Kunduz city, seizing several outlying villages and entering the city.
Jazakumullah khair al-jaza for your valuable time and the valuable information that you are sharing with the listeners. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you for that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana, we request your du'as and jazakallah for hosting us. Allah give you success in all your endeavors. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Brother Abu Bakr Siddat speaking to us about the different Muslim countries, and he was focused on Afghanistan today. Inshallah, we would hear more next Sunday.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.